Hello and welcome to Peas in a Podcast.
Hello.
Today is
June
Friday,
5th,
2009. And this is Wyatt.
And his lovely wife, Tracy.
Very lovely wife. And our baby's actually joining us via satellite.
Baby Z
via baby monitor.
She might pipe in here and there.
Every once in a while,
you
might pick her up. Yeah. Having a baby who is 2 months old.
2 months.
Has it been
crazy.
A challenge?
Has it?
It's been a joy.
Has it been
at the
a challenge
time.
For you?
I think it's been a challenge for both of us. More of a challenge for you than me for me.
It's a new life stage.
Yep. Tracy is now full time at home.
A new season.
With the baby. I've been back to work for quite a while. We are without
That's
help.
True. You've been back to work like 6 weeks.
Yeah. It was nice while it lasted. But then again, I haven't changed as many diapers as I once did.
They're not so bad as I thought they'd be since it was my first diaper ever.
You didn't even have to change a diaper until like the second week. Maybe the third week. It was the end of the second week I think you had changed the diaper.
I don't think so. I think I did after the first
Whatever,
week.
I did everything the first week.
You did do most things the first week.
Yeah. Which was the least I could do. I could do a lot more.
Yeah. Then you kind of took a break for 6 weeks.
Ever. Yeah.
The baby. Yeah, make sure we're recording, please.
We are recording.
Thank you. Okay.
This is recording dot, dot, dot.
So, the baby. It's a new experience.
A wonderful experience. Wonderfulness
wonderful.
And beautifulness and cutie and fullness.
Okay. yes. She's a good baby. She is a fat
Everybody
baby.
Thinks she's very beautiful.
I asked for a fat baby, and I got a fat baby. Works out pretty well.
I was looking at pictures of her online today, and I've noticed that she's dramatically changed.
I guess so.
Since we got her.
I mean, it's sort of like you don't realize it when you see her every day kind of thing. You know, like you don't see someone for a long time. You think, well, they got put on like 50 pounds. I can't believe it. But they don't notice it themselves until they're 50 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it made me realize I need to take more pictures of her.
Yeah, I take some, but my days are so busy now, it's craziness.
Yeah.
It's like one thing to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah.
Take time to stop and smell the coffee.
Well, I know this sounds really prideful, but everybody's baby is beautiful. But there's some babies that are beautiful.
Everyone's told us this too, so it's not just us.
But our baby is like exceptionally beautiful. I'm sure there's other babies that are more.
This was interesting
beautiful.
The other day on the Stand to Reason. Greg Kolko had someone write in, or you know, he had a conversation with a lady, and he was saying, I guess his baby or kid has really pretty hair. And anyway, the whole gist of it was like, she was like, oh, it's better that your baby would have high self-esteem than if it would have low self-esteem and be prideful with high self-esteem. But Greg Kolko was saying, you know, there's really nothing wrong about having a low self-image, you know? Like, society would say that's, like, the worst thing that you could have is be, like, low self-esteem. But it's like, biblically, there's really nothing wrong with having a low view of yourself.
Well, I think that there's a difference
versus,
between a
like,
low
but there is
view
something
versus
wrong.
Humility.
There is something wrong with you having
an
a prideful
view.
View.
That's true. It's probably better to have a low view than a high view.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I was just thinking about that lately with how much we praise the baby and this and that, which we'll have to work on.
Yeah. Well, it's like people like see our baby and they start crying because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what do you do, you know? They're like crying. And like, you can't take her anywhere because people just have to see her. Like, people I don't even know, I'm like, go away. And they're like, oh, your baby's so beautiful. No, go away. No, I love your baby. I'm like, have you even, what's your name? Who are you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good thing she's already developing her own ninja moves because she's going to have to fight people away from her.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make the statement that sometimes the most ugly babies make the most beautiful people. So it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But it's sort of the idea of what are you instilling. You have to think about that,
I guess
too.
You've gotten the pattern of praising somebody.
Yeah, I'm not going to be praising her very long because she does a lot of stuff that I'm just like, no, don't do that. Quit crossing your eyes, man. Quit it now.
They're going to get stuck that way. Well, I guess there's some people that aren't very attractive, that aren't very, I don't know, affable, but they think that they're affable, and then other people think they're affable too because they have that ingrained in their mind that they are affable and beautiful and whatnot.
But I just thought it was interesting that biblically being prideful is like sinful, but having a low self-esteem or not thinking highly of yourself is really, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, society will tell you there's something wrong with that, but really, what's wrong with that? Hmm. Like,
well, the Bible does praise people for being beautiful. Not only Rachel.
No, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being beautiful. I mean, I've been smited with that curse many times. But
as Dr. Luther has said, may I never recover. But there's a different kind of beauty because it says Moses was beautiful. But I'm sure he wasn't physically beautiful. He might have been if he was the prince of Egypt. He may have been very beautiful.
Yeah, maybe being graceful.
But that was not why the God said he was beautiful. Which is interesting.
Joseph was supposed to be handsome as
yeah,
well.
He was handsome too. So it's not bad to be handsome, but I'm sure Jezebel was attractive.
Sure.
Because how else would she have been so powerful? I mean, there are probably unattractive people who think they're attractive. I won't doubt that.
Right, but if you're a woman back then, you had to be attractive probably to have power.
Yeah, especially since society was so down on women. And in other ways, it was very good, too. Because
I mean, the baby could stay fat. She could be overweight, you know. And that's just the way it is. And society will tell her that she's something wrong with her because she's a little bit heavier. But
yeah, most people will get the most damage done to them when they're a teenager anyway. So it doesn't really matter because she doesn't remember any of this anyways. Most people don't remember things before they're five. Maybe one or two memories at the most.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be lucky if I remember more than like one or two things. You probably remember like your whole life from your birth.
No, I don't. I blocked out a lot of my childhood. Well, the baby is pretty amazing in many respects because she's an incredible sleeper. Yeah. Which you don't even know about this kind of stuff until you have a baby. It's like you don't know about a lot of stuff until you're pregnant. There's no need to know, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know the baby had to eat, like, every 3 hours.
It really doesn't change anything, I suppose.
It doesn't change anything.
Because you have to do it either way.
Yeah, there's no reason to know ahead of time, but it's kind of nice, like, I mean, she's sleeping 8-9 hours at a time every night since she was 5 weeks old, which is apparently pretty good, according to other people who have their babies not asleep for a whole year.
Yeah.
And we tried to do a baby-wise method, yeah, which is controversial. I don't know if we've talked about it before.
I don't know if you mentioned it or not. Baby Wise. It's a dirty word.
It's a book.
Baby
it's
Wise.
It's a short book. It's easy to read.
I feel kind of like, ooh, Baby Wise.
Well, it's sort
baby
of like,
Wise.
You kind of did Baby Wise, and your baby slept through the night at 5 weeks. Was it Baby Wise completely, or was your baby just a good sleeper?
Well, thesis, antithesis. I'm like Francis Schaeffer mode right now.
Mm-hmm.
If Baby Wise is a thesis, what is the antithesis?
Attachment parenting.
I mean, as if you could only do attachment parenting or Baby Wise.
I know. The spectrum.
I mean, there's some very good people at our church who do attachment parenting. There's very good people at church who do Baby Wise. And we respect both of them.
And I don't know much about, I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about child development because I have never looked into it. I really haven't thought about it. I didn't know much about babies. I didn't know really what changing a diaper would be like until I changed one. It's really incredibly, ridiculously easy and stupid, yeah, but you think it's such a big thing before
changing
you do it.
Changing a diaper is way easier than you realize. It's really easy.
I just had this like, oh my gosh, I can't change someone else's kid's diaper. Like, that seems like
I could do it now.
Difficult. I could do it now because I realized it's not a big deal.
It might be kind of weird
especially
doing a boy diaper.
Especially since you change it 8 times a day, which I didn't even know about that either.
Yeah.
There's just so many things you don't know about, but aren't really a big deal. And you just do them. They're just habitual things that are really not really a big deal.
Baby Z, little Zora. She likes her diaper change now.
She does. She smiles. She's gotten the sociability coming out in her.
Yeah, you know, the first time she smiled, it freaked me out. I'm like, whoa, is that right? Is she okay? Yeah. Because, like, her whole face just changes. Because normally it's just, like, calm or screaming.
Yeah.
And then there's this smile. You're like, oh.
Cognizance of some sort.
It's like a reaction. It doesn't really feel like it's related to anything that I've done. Because she smiles spontaneously all the time.
Yeah,
But
somewhat.
sometimes I feel like I do something and then she
Well, she
smiles.
smiles whenever
And
she
then she
sees
screams
me.
after that.
Because I'm the mom, and you have to love the mom. The mom is the best thing in the world.
Especially when your mom is Tracy
That's
Kent.
right.
Tracy
But
Lynn.
she's very developed for her age, I feel. She rolled over at 6 weeks.
And you have it on video.
I do. I
Holy
got the very
cow.
first one on video. I was just videoing her because she was kind of
That
active.
must have been amazing.
I don't know. I was like, I think you just rolled over. Let me rewind that and see.
Right?
Because it was just like, you would think rolling over would be a big deal, but really it's just like they fell over and then they keep falling over again. I mean, she purposefully did it. It wasn't accidental. It was definitely purposeful.
Yeah.
Because she kind of rocks herself until she gets the roll. You saw it because you came home
Oh,
one
she
day
has
and she
technique. She like lifts her head up, which she's been doing for a long time. She's
lifts the chest
like,
up. Yeah, it makes that noise with it.
shake her head, shake her head, and then she starts to lift her one hand up. I didn't look what hand she lifted up. You can probably tell what handed she is based on what hand she
I
lifts
think
up.
she's rolled both ways.
Because I would think she would lift her hand that she was
I
handedness.
think she's left-handed, but that's just my own. I can't remember why
You're
I
biased.
thought that.
Tracy's
Maybe
left-handed
because
and
I'm
she's smarter than I
left-handed.
am.
I think it's good to be left-handed. I mean, I'm ambidextrous, so she could be too.
Well, all left-handed people are
That's true.
semi-ambidextrous. You have to be.
I'm quadridextrous.
Yeah,
I
you and your
can write with my
pedophile.
feet.
Pedophile. Don't you love your feet?
No, that's a no.
Opposed to a pedophile, which is when you love children. Isn't it funny that the word pedophile, child love, turns into such a horrible context?
Yep.
It's
It's not a good thing.
irony. Yeah. I need to work on my Greek a little bit more. Anyway, so she lifts one hand up. Because at first I felt like it was just an accident she rolled over.
The video does kind of look
Because
like.
her head just kind of. Her head's so big, she lifts it up and it
But that's
topples
what
and
the
just
pediatrician
pulls
had
her
told me.
over.
She'll be like, the first time, you'll just be like, the head will be so heavy, it'll just kind of fall over, which is kind of what happened. But then she did it more times.
She's done it a bunch of times, like once a day.
Yeah, probably once a day, I would
If
say.
we give her enough time,
The
like
tummy time
after
that you
she's
were worried
had
about
like when
because you
she's
have a baby.
fresh.
Yeah, she's fresh. She's just hadn't fed, diaper change. She's good to go with the world.
She's ready to stretch her legs and put her arms up. She has strong arms. She's a strong baby.
She is strong.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole problem with her in the first place. She was just way too ahead of
Yeah,
herself.
I can just see her on the side of me holding her arms stretched out. Like, I'm not coming out of here because I don't want to because
Yay!
you were induced and I didn't want to come out yet. And I just can imagine that's what happened.
You put her down on the changing table, she like spreads her arms and her legs like way out. It's like, poof.
Yeah, she
Yeah!
did not want to be swaddled. Swaddling is this thing you'll learn about if you're a new parent that
Yeah.
they tell you, which worked the first like day or two.
It
That's
worked
supposed to
excellent.
calm your baby, but she just wasn't having it.
Well,
She
the
wants
problem was
her
her arms were way too strong,
arms are
so she would
strong
bust out of the swaddle,
and they're
and then
long
she would scream. And poor old daddy
initially,
didn't know how to
but
do
now
it tight
she's
enough.
fine. She's totally fine with the long stretched out arms.
I would get the heartless nurses to come in, and they would just choke the baby. And I couldn't,
Choke the baby.
like, she was bound so tight in that darn little, like, gray and striped little swaddling thing. So tight she
The
couldn't
pink
bust her
and
arms
blue one
out,
that's
whatever what it
supposed
was,
to be boy and
whatever
girl
color it
blanket
was.
that they give at every hospital in the US.
Every hospital in the US, that little blanket, like the heartless nurses come there, bound her, and she couldn't get her arms out, and then she'd fall asleep. And I could never get her tight enough. She would always bust out of them. Her arms and legs would go flailing, and she'd be like, ah! And now I would get angry because I couldn't go to sleep because I was tired.
We're done with the swaddle after. We did have that swaddling
Oh,
in the
yeah.
kidapotamus.
That was a great thing at
And
first.
basically what we did was swaddle her without her arms. It really wasn't a swaddle. It
No, we
just
went through phases where at first, like, I swaddled her with the Velcro straitjacket. It's called kidapotamus. Just basically like like a little blanket that has Velcro on it, so you can Velcro their arms really tight because they like that at first because they're used to the
Swaddling for
womb.
dummies, basically.
And then the pediatrician says she wouldn't like it in time. Sure enough, she didn't like it, and she'd like her arms free. And now she won't have it at all.
She's a belly sleeper.
That's what we say. Like me. She's not having it.
She's not having a lot of things.
She gets what she wants.
Yeah, she's a belly sleeper, which apparently is increasing her risk of SIDS. But again, but pediatrician said 60% of kids sleep on their stomachs, so I'm really not worried about it.
She can throw her head side to side.
She just kind of has her way with whatever she wants. So I feel like if she's dying, she's going to struggle until the end, at least. I don't know.
The whole
sudden infant death, it just makes you think, like, all of a sudden, the baby's just going to die.
It could.
And it could. And it probably does, and that must be why it's named that. But it's just, like, some of it's just, like, I feel like scary, just, like, scared tactics to be, like, don't be stupid with your baby.
You know, it makes me wonder how many people passed out drunk in their bed, and they put their baby face down the pillow.
I know that would
woke
be my...
Up,
not,
and they're like, oh, the baby just died all of a sudden. They call 911.
I know when I'm getting into my deep levels of sleep. There's when I wake up, I'm kind of out of it. Like, what? What am I holding? What? You know? So yeah. I wouldn't trust myself in the bed with the baby sleeping. I'll nap with the baby.
We'll bring her in the bed once in a while because it's kind of fun to have her in the bed with us because she's so cuddly. But, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, where's the baby?
I thought you were throwing the blanket across to me one time.
I freaked out. I'm like...
That was early on.
How easy could I just, like, punt the baby off the bed? She's so little.
Easily.
Very easily.
I mean, you wake up talking and you sleep on top of your arm sometime in, like, a praying mantis position. I'm like, what are you doing? Because I realized when I started, I had to wake up in the middle of the night the first few weeks to give the baby some milk. And you were in all these funky positions I didn't even know you did. Because it's like the middle of the night and you're completely out of it. I'm like, what are you doing?
And I'm a deep sleeper.
I try to throw stuff at you. Partially because you were snoring sometimes and it drives me nuts. Or you crack your... You wake up... You would wake up, your hands would come above your head in like this grasping position, and then you'd be cracking them, which drives me insane. I was trying to throw stuff at you at 4 a.m. and you just weren't having it. Or I'm talking to you, telling you to quit. Sometimes you'll hear me when I'm talking to you and you'll stop doing something, but
yeah. Well, cracking knuckles and buying coffee are the biggest things we fight about over
and
anything.
And buying books now, apparently, after we spent $300 on books last month. Oh.
Well, at least books are something, after you've read them, you get them back.
The books I'm not as big of a deal about. It's more of the addiction. I feel like it's becoming an addiction to buy books.
What about Walgreens?
Now, Walgreens, I'm buying household goods at a ridiculously reduced price.
What's the difference between books that have price books? They're household goods at ridiculously low prices.
I'm honestly saving us hundreds of dollars versus if I would even go to Walmart and buy the product outright.
Well, think about the savings I'm getting.
What are you saving
like Barnes & Noble
versus not buying them, which would be saving us more?
What's the difference between not buying all these things?
Do you not want
Walgreens
toothpaste? I mean, I got enough toothpaste for 5 years right now, so if you don't want to use that expired toothpaste, it's your problem.
We do have 5 years worth of toothpaste.
We do have 5 years.
At least.
Because I feel like we don't go through toothpaste that fast.
And
it's all expiring 2010. So
I'll give it to her.
Tracy
got all of these premium Huggy diapers for like free.
How much have I paid for diapers?
They're like the best diapers
ever. I paid like $5 for diapers and we're in month two. I mean, eat that cloth diapers. Green people. I mean, I'm greener than you. I'm not even going to lie.
I don't know about the green because there's like... It costs money to run your washing machine, and then they have to dispose it too. And
yeah,
I don't think washing machines are that efficient because
the dryer uses a lot of energy. Are you using cloth wipes? Are you really using cloth wipes? Because if you're using disposable wipes, you're also causing some issues. It's more about, are you filling up the landfills? I don't know. I've listened to a few things on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like diapers and cockroaches are two things that are going
to
last forever.
I want to do cloth diapering is if I'm going to have a bazillion kids and they can reuse them. But then again, the cloth wears out too. So I'm like, well, you have to buy new ones. It's just, I mainly want to do it for money savings reasons.
You got to run the water to wash the cloth and, you know, it costs energy to run the water and the pump.
We're not going to have a long discussion about it because we've had this discussion a little bit.
Yeah. Well, she's a beautiful little baby. I don't feel like her hair has grown at all since
someone Karen today thought it had grown since last week. But
well, her head might have gotten a little bit bigger, and her hair could have grown at the same rate.
I don't know. It could be just that I washed it maybe once, and it's...
like I was looking at the differences. Her head does look bigger. Like her face, like from her eyebrows down, seemed a lot smaller in her little babies. But now I feel like she's a little bit more normal proportion. Like when she first came out of you. Besides the guck that was all over her being swollen, I noticed that her cheeks seemed big. But now if you look at her, I wouldn't think that anymore.
She has big cheeks. But all babies have big cheeks. They got fat. They got the brown fat on them, keeping them nice and...
Well, the breastfeeding, I think, probably works that down, too. Oh,
she works them in their sleep. She's like dreaming about feeding, because you walk in, her mouth will be, like, sucking for, like, an hour. Be like, you're not eating anything, girl, but go ahead and think you are, because it's more time for me to eat without... crazy crying. So,
you know, I thought that bottles would be the easier solution, but I realized you got to make the formula.
No, breastfeeding is way easier.
You got to make it to the right temperature. You got to clean the bottles and the nipples.
Bottles
and sterilize
are a pain in the behind.
Them.
Even just doing a bottle once a day or once a week.
It's a lot of work. So and when you nurse, you just put the baby on and you take the baby off. But when you bottle feed, they get the stuff all over them. Then you got to wash them off because they choke because they get too much in them.
How much time did we spend in our lives on food? It's, like, ridiculous. Like, cooking, going to the grocery store, going looking for food when you're on vacation, like, for 2 hours because you can't find anything decent besides cheap, ridiculous Chinese food.
Ramen noodle.
Yeah. It's like... if you could just hook up somewhere, man, you're set. 20 minutes. It's really not that big of a deal,
and
then.
I can't imagine anything else in the world she'd rather eat.
There's nothing better for her.
You know she loves it. She's like crazy. She's like a sharky fiend.
She is sharky.
She is our sharky.
Sharky bear.
Sharky. Baby.
Yeah,
baby,
we can
daddy,
go on about
baby,
the baby.
Baby daddy, daddy.
You realize you talk about the baby a lot because it's a new part of your life.
Yeah, there's a temptation to talk about the baby all the time.
We aren't baby-centric. We're family-centric.
Well, we're Christian, so we have other things to talk about.
We're God-centric.
We talk about how much we don't like Obama. We talk about the Bible and books that we're reading all the time, and we talk about a lot of things.
We talked about the woman who got impregnated and had twins by two different men at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, I have all kinds of interesting...
John and Kate plus eight, which we watched a whole bunch of time. We talked about in the last podcast.
That's right.
She has been in the tabloids like crazy, because you're like... what kind of woman has a body like this and has eight babies?
Did you see the before pictures? See, this is the whole thing. They got these before pictures of her, man. She was like 200 pounds. Anyway, this is all gossip that you get in the new media that it's just like irresistible to talk about. It's like, who is this person that we even care about? It's just like the celebrityness is ridiculous now.
Yeah.
This whole reality celebrity. And it's like they've made a good point about what family or couple or whoever has survived the celebrity. No one. They've all divorced, or they never got married on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, or, you know, it broke up their whole family, it caused feuds, it caused people to be angry. You know, really nothing good has come out of that. I mean, there's Trista and Ryan, who are from The Bachelor, which they're still married and they got two kids.
How long has it been?
Oh, it's been like 6-7 years probably.
Really?
Yeah, they're like the success story, so they always get played. Has anyone actually gotten married from the show that's supposed to set up people to get married? Like one couple, and everyone else is like, you know, playboy, playgirl in Hollywood, hooking up with everybody.
Yeah,
that's on that show, because it's all about being famous, and then you get put in this big swirliness of I'm so beautiful, and I have this great personality because people love me because I was on TV, so you should love me, and you should sleep with me, and that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Society's gone to hell in a handbag. And I'm not going to lie, I watch E! Online once in a while. I cut myself off of it for like a month or two, and then you watch it once, and you're like, oh, I got to watch it tomorrow to see what happens with Spidey from yesterday and the day after that.
Yeah, and the epitome of all is this I'm a Celebrity show with...
That's Spidey. But this is like
the
epitome of celebrity debacleness that people can't... The train wreck they can't stop watching. But if you don't watch it for a long time, or you don't... I don't read any of those magazines like People or E! Or any of those magazines. And if you don't watch the online, I only watch on the computer because we don't have a TV once in a while. But if you start watching it, then you get sucked in like soap opera. It's like the soap opera, basically. If you don't watch it, I mean, I used to watch All My Children all the time. You get in this habit, you know, when you watch it, you're like so entangled in it. But if you stop watching it for like a week or two, you're like, this is so stupid and I don't really care about this anymore. Then it's not a big deal to watch it. But once you get sucked in.
Yeah, I guess I think it must be like pornography.
Yeah, or pornography.
Well, no, it's probably more like
sports. I don't
sports.
Know.
Sports. Pornography is a different thing.
Well, it's feeding on lust, which I feel like the celebrities feeding on gossip. I mean, it's a different sin. Well,
sports is probably a sort of lust.
Sports
too.
Is somewhat of a, I don't know.
It's more like a classified as gladiator kind of lust of like, if I become the superstar, then everybody will want me.
Pride, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, here's an idea. Sometimes I think. Recently, that maybe America is turning a little bit more like the Roman Empire.
Well, do you know the Jehovah Witnesses are again? The end of the world is coming soon. It wasn't 1970s. It was now.
It wasn't 2007. It was 2008. Prepare I mean 2009. Yourself. I mean 2010.
Not to say we know we're fully.
I miscalculated the dates. I meant 2011.
But we don't have the clear
2012
direction from
2013.
Anyway.
Spring of 2014.
Okay.
Maybe fall. So anyways, like, if you look at the Roman Empire, like, there was a lot of perversity, and that was a world power, and it feels like, you know, with every day, it's not exactly the same. Like, there's new temples, you know, there's not Athena or anything anymore, but, I mean, you still have Plato and Aristotle, but you still have the New Age kind of stuff, and
I mean,
the sexuality seems to be almost back to what it was during the Roman times. Everybody, like, goes back to the 50s in terms of, like, purity. And the 50s was really a fallen version of the 1800s, which was a fallen version of the Puritans. And all that revolves around
Christians
fleeing England.
Man, the Puritans make us look ridiculous. I mean, they make us look ridiculous, and we're Christians. I'm talking about you and me. I'm not talking about average society.
Yeah.
You know?
They do.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a Puritan. I'm not anywhere near what they were.
They've read all the books I've read when they were, like, 13.
I have this feeling in my head that I should be Puritan, and I have these ideas, but I'm too much ingrained in the culture that the culture has brought me to more of the culture than to what it should be.
Yeah.
Which is a fault, you know, of myself, but I don't know.
No, I admire the Puritans, especially after I've been studying about Jonathan Edwards so much. I'm reading Religious Affections right now. It's really hard to read because they're so much smarter than we are. The Puritans are all smarter than we are.
It just shows how much, like, influence.
And I think that our modern society just dismisses them as, like, oh, they're just like the white white bed sheet that has a hole in it that they had sex through. That's what I heard when I was a kid. You probably heard that, too.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't actually see each other naked. They just had the white bed sheet with the hole in it.
I mean, they did have 20 kids living in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, but, like, over half their children died. Could you imagine going through that?
No.
And yeah, that was a common case. They would have 20 kids because 10 of them would die. And then...
Yeah, that's how it is in, you know, third world countries still.
And we watch movies about, like, people having abortions because they want to go live in Paris.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know,
it makes me want to puke.
It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, well, anyway, we just saw bits of Revolutionary Road the other night, so I'm completely, you know, just.
I tried to look it up online today just to try to understand how that tube suction thing works.
It's a vacuum thing, right?
It's like it's some sort of a vacuum method, and you have to sterilize it, and just like. I couldn't even Google it because the pictures that come up that are associated with it are so.
I know. I mean,
it made me sick to my stomach just even
thinking. Those abortion videos.
We didn't even watch the end of it because, like, I just knew where it was going to go, and I know what it's going to be like. And just the thought of it was just horrifying that I couldn't even.
I hope they didn't show it. I mean, I can't. We sent the movie back, so I can't even see what happened. But
it was enough that I
don't want to scar my brain anymore than it has been.
You know, in many ways, I almost wonder which is worse, for us to live in Nazi Germany or live into America where all these abortions had happened. Because it's like, it feels like there are a lot more people are aborted than they were killed in the Holocaust. And I mean, I guess you start saying, well, an aged adult person lost is worse than a baby. In some regards, that's true because babies aren't born again yet. They haven't come to know about Christ and they haven't come to a new character. But then again, they're made in the image of God, which, regardless of whether they are personally saved or not, is still a horrifying thing. So, not to make this into a really deep and morbid
Yeah,
podcast.
let's not morbidize it.
I mean, it is a disgusting, horrifying thing that is part of our society.
It's just disgusting and horrifying that many people don't see it as disgusting and horrifying, really. Like the
Yeah.
movie, like I feel like they're praising, like I feel like they wanted you to think that she should have done that.
Yeah, it was all like praising her how
I
she
mean,
was
I'm
trapped
just
in this
like, I was trying
prison.
to think about this from a different worldview. If I was the average person in the US right now sitting watching this, what would I be thinking? Like, would I be viewing it the same way that I'm viewing it? Like, I just wanted to understand if that was what the average person would view it as. Like, oh, she should do this type of thing, or I
We're
don't
talking
know.
about Revolutionary Road,
Yeah.
is that right? There was also a book too, I think. Anyways, just to throw that out there.
And, you know, this was an Oscar-nominated performance
Kate
and
Winslet and
role, although she's
Leonardo
just
DiCaprio.
clearly looks like she's acting, so I don't even know how they nominated her, but
Yeah, but
whatever.
you're talking about Kate Winslet, who has been on the tabloids lately because, oh, I was so fat before, and now I've lost this weight, and now I'm a legitimate person because I didn't deserve to live because I was fat.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, this person can be pro-abortion if they don't think you're worth living if you're overweight. That's like the most shallow thing ever.
Oh, I think enough. Well, anyway, I'm not going to get in a bunch of tangents here about how it was pro-abortion because
Well, you're talking about the one guy who was doing the late-term
they always keep
abortions.
talking about how the oh, if we legal, if we delegalize or what's the word here I'm looking for, delegalize abortion, make abortion illegal, they'll go back to these horrific ways of trying to perform it yourself. So they're trying to be like, oh, this is what's going to happen, like the 1950s when people had to give themselves abortions because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't legal.
Well, it sounds heartless, but like the person who dies is the one who's trying to murder their baby. Like, why don't they make abortion a capital offense?
Really?
It's the same thing. It's kind of like the one guy. Well, this has been in the news a lot because there was one guy who was doing these really late-term abortions, which is basically the same as killing an adult, killing a baby, like killing infanticide. He was doing, and someone shot him in the church service he was going to. He was going to the church.
Infanticide is legal in some regards, as a Barack Obama voted for in Illinois.
Well, now that Obama's president, then it's all a wash anyways. We love
Because it's
Obama.
like if the baby, while you're trying to perform abortion, accidentally gets born or somehow comes out, you can still chop their head off, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, you should have a right to do what everything it takes to make sure that you have a dead baby. Whatever it costs, according to Obama. Anyways, I hope he doesn't do anything because everything he's been doing has just been a disaster. Everyone loves him for it, though, but eventually maybe they'll wise up if we have some sort of crisis and he screws it up even more. But anyways, there was the one guy you were talking about who actually were doing those kind of abortions and said that you should be able
Dr.
to kill.
Kevorkian? No.
No, not Kevorkian. He was assisted
I don't remember
suicide.
his name, but yeah, the guy in, where is he, Kansas or
He said
Nebraska or somewhere?
he was the one who said that you could kill your babies up to a certain age because
Oh,
they'd,
Peter Singer.
yeah, the singer, Dr. Singer. At least he was consistent because, like, if you're going to kill your baby, you might as well admit it's a baby. And what's the difference between killing them when they're, essentially 9 months versus, like, 2 years old?
Right.
There's really not a lot of difference
Not
between a
really.
9th month old and, like, once we have our baby and she comes out and you realize, oh, this is really a full human, you don't really see them, so you don't really think about it. So you feel like, oh, it's not a
That's why
human.
ultrasounds, you know, have made a big difference when if people understand, like, you know, what's going on inside of them. I think that's, they do that a lot of the, like, Caris and other
That's probably why the
ministries.
3D ultrasounds are important.
3D ultrasounds are
I don't really
pretty
think
good,
about that.
and it's a regular ultrasound. It's great.
But the 3D ultrasound, like you actually see the full form of the baby. Even the normal ultrasounds, I think, are. Well, there was the one guy that was on the news not too long ago that showed the surgery that was done on an infant inside of the uterus. Mm-hmm. They cut a hole, and the hand of the baby came out and latched onto the finger of the surgeon. Probably just reflex.
It was only at 20 weeks. That's like halfway through a pregnancy.
Where it was like a lot super of small. Happen, yeah. It was like the youngest interaction. I don't know how to classify it, but it was amazing. Like, it showed the picture of the uterus, and there was a hole cut, and the baby was out and grabbed the finger of the surgeon with the plastic glove on. Are you okay?
Yeah, I can't do surgery.
Yeah, I thought I could, but I don't think I could.
No,
now.
I couldn't have. Can't do it.
You pass out if you have your blood drawn.
Cannot do it. Well, that's a different issue with me. That's my blood dropping.
I don't know. You're pretty tough. Yeah. I have watching you pressure. Go through that labor thing. That was hard for me.
I'm hardcore, man. I can go through a lot myself, but I can't do it to other people.
Yeah.
Like, I cut the baby's finger the other day, made her bleed accidentally. That was hard for me. I mean, she was fine after she had some milk because it just calms her down, but...
I'm going to come home and she's only got four fingers in one hand.
It was just a little skin. I mean, where'd all that blood come from? That's what I I mean, that's hard because I inflicted pain on her that I didn't really want to do that to her, but it's like, ooh. That wasn't even anything serious.
Yeah. Oh, Tracy. Well, baby's doing okay. She's super healthy.
Hey, I haven't dropped her or hit her head on anything yet that I know of. I didn't think I hit her with a bag today in the car seat, but besides that, I haven't done too much.
I'm super worried. There's so many edges in our apartment, like on the coffee table, on the benches for the kitchen table, on the door handle. I'm always thinking I'm going to hit her on the door handle, the edge of the changing table.
Yeah, have you hit her yet? You keep asking me.
Not yet.
Okay, just checking.
But I'm like, there's a lot of times I'm like carrying her, I'm like, I'm tired. Because you wake up and you're tired and carrying the baby. You don't really think about it. She's got a huge head, you know?
Yeah.
It just topples over and it makes her whole body roll over. Little Z, Zoraida. Well, Zoraida, we love you.
Yeah, the whole podcast became a baby-a-thon.
Yeah, we thought we'd just kind of be updating the baby.
To talk about, but...
Well, last podcast was about Portland, and I have another podcast.
Yeah, I guess we talked about traveling with the baby then, too. She's been a good traveler for the most
part.
She
loves riding in the car seat on the freeway. She hates stoplights.
Yeah, stoplights are not good.
Our Taylor roads, she's kind of like hit and miss on. But freeway, she's
just what I was talking about the one lady today who lived. She lived in L.A. for a while. Can you imagine being stuck in traffic in L.A. with a baby screaming for an hour and you can't do anything because you're the only person in the car? Like, no one can go up in the back seat with the baby.
Oh, maybe we should add a couple tips on the car seat.
Kill me.
Like, originally I was putting the bar for the car seat down, but you need to put it lower than the car seat, as well as the hoodie thing.
Yeah, because it can impale the baby, which I learned the other day.
As well as you're not supposed to have things in the back seat or anything like books and things, because if you were to roll your car, it could smash the baby really easy.
Yeah, I seatbelt my bag in if I'm with the baby.
Oh, you do?
I seatbelt the bag in because that will keep the bag from flying, although I don't know if it will. But that made me think, like, should we be drinking hot coffee in the car? Because technically, if we got in an accident, that coffee went all over the place. It's going to burn a lot of people. I mean, you can take it far. There are some precautions.
I don't know if we ever buy coffee that's that hot. Maybe if you just got it right out of the window.
Yeah.
But odds are it's going to be spread rather than put your whole baby's arm in there.
Well, it's like the airplane thing. Like, they were saying, should you buy a seat for your infant? Because you don't have to up to 2 years. You don't have to buy. They can sit in your lap and you can get it for free or pay the taxes or whatever. But they're like, well, what if you have, you know, turbulence? And then the baby, you don't have enough strength in your arms to hold the baby to you in turbulence. And the baby's going to go flying. So you should buy a seat for your baby because you could have turbulence.
Yeah, I don't know. I've
and
never
then,
been on planes
you know, the
been
airplane crash
severe.
Happens in Brazil to France. And I'm like, well, they probably had some turbulence, but they all died anyway.
That's true.
I mean, I don't want to be insensitive about the situation.
Yeah.
But it's possible. I mean, I've never been on a turbulent airplane that's been that bad, but I'm sure it happens frequently. I mean, I flew every week and it never happened, but that might be the route that I was on.
No, if you look at a map of where all the planes are in the U.S., it's like you can't even see the U.S. because there's so many planes, depending on the route.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, certainly in the car, because car accidents happen a heck a lot more than airplane turbulence.
If you think in terms of a car accident, then you're going to account for the plane accident, which is going to be 1,000 times less likely.
Because the car seat can become a hindrance if you would... I mean, I didn't even really originally know why was it illegal to have the handle of the car seat sticking up over the baby. I just thought, oh, well, why would that be illegal? Because that if you get in an accident and that snaps, that could impale the baby very easily.
I think it can also block your view out the rear view mirror.
Well, yeah, but that might be another reason. I don't know. I didn't think about that either. So it's good to think through why you're doing things.
Yeah.
Or why you need to have the baby so tight into the car seat.
Yeah.
And why it needs to be at a certain angle, et cetera, et cetera. There's just like a bazillion things to think about. So it's probably go through, listen to something on it, or go to a safety inspector or something.
Yeah, we had them inspected at the hospital, which was helpful. But we're getting better. We actually took the baby to the museum the other day.
We did. We ate out for dinner and went to the museum in Seattle.
I realized that the key to go to restaurants that are really loud, because they don't hear the baby fussing. Because I can rock her and stuff, and she'll make the fussy noises without making the, like, the ultra scream. There's like a fussy noise, and then there's like the
Yeah, it was,
scream,
was hard.
Which is like unbearable to listen to.
Yeah, my body just goes into convulsions.
We have different ways of carrying her. She really liked the baby Bjorn at first, but she doesn't like that anymore.
I'm wondering when we could start facing her forward. I need to read up on it.
I think part of it is I need to be able to put her arms out the side. I should try to just put her in a normal, go for a walk.
I think so.
She likes it when I hold her with her belly facing the ground, like if I put my arm underneath her and then hold her neck. She seems to like that the most, but mm-hmm. She won't go to sleep that way.
No.
But she did pretty, she did so-so in the museum. We had to feed her in the car, and then we put her in the stroller, and then she did okay for a little bit, and then she starts screaming, and then Tracy
put her in my sling.
In the sling. She has this baby sling.
Finally figure out how to wear it right, so
she was.
I had her in it wrong a few times and it was uncomfortable, but now I got it right.
We're a little bit tired by then, which Tracy has to hold her.
I mean,
but
the art museum
isn't
as quiet as you think. I was thinking, the art museum's gonna be ultra quiet, but it was kind of loud. I thought, I mean, people definitely noticed the baby was crying, but
we did go on the free night when there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I figured they didn't pay any money to see this, so it's fine.
As long as she doesn't, like, get into, like, the screaming pattern, which she does. It's not, like, the same as that nice museum, either. Compared to Chicago. I think we're getting tired.
Yeah, I'm yawning, man.
Well, we're going to continue this podcast another time. It's probably to our threshold.
It's been a long podcast, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's been nice talking to you. This has been Wyatt. And
Tracy.
And Z's in the background somewhere. Little Zoraida.
Sleeping like a baby.
We'll catch up with you another time. This is Peas in a Podcast.
Isn't that interesting, the expression sleeps like a baby? Because doesn't that mean that you're sleeping well? Most babies don't sleep well or not.
That
I mean,
is ironic.
She sleeps well, but...
Not like a baby.
I don't know.
I sleep like a baby. She does not sleep like a baby.
Where did that expression come from? That's an interesting thing to look up for the week.
Maybe it's like sleep like you wish your baby slept. Oh, well.
Funny.
All right. Sayonara.